Good morning, everyone. As you can tell by this voice, Reuben is not here today, but I am Livy Streetwise, pinch hitting for the great man himself. Happy to be here, and I have our amazing co-host with me here, Julie Mel. Good morning.
Good morning, Livy.
We made it in. How was the weather by you? Crazy this morning.
It was crazy last night.
Oh yes.
My gosh. But this morning it wasn't so bad, but I woke up and got in my car to like 2 inches of snow down by the wipers. I didn't wipe my window the whole way from Montera because I wanted to make a snowball, but that didn't happen.
Yeah, I came out yesterday. It was yesterday that I had snow all over my car.
That's crazy.
I guess. I know. It's wild. And so I have a son just about to start driving, and so he got it. He's like, would you mind if I started up the car and got it warm? And he got out there, and you know, coming from out east, we always had ice scrapers and brushes to take the snow off. We don't have any of that here. I'm sure there was a run on them at Ace, but yeah, we didn't have any. So you know, he was using one of my credit cards to scrape.
That's funny.
The ice off the windshield. And then I'll start going over all the common sense things about how to wipe the snow off of your car. You know, if there is ice, you don't want it going up on your windshield. Like, you have to do the hood of the car and all that.
Right.
So that
right.
you don't get the snow hitting the car
the
behind
drifts.
You.
Right,
and
right, right.
So all of that stuff.
I was worrying about going through puddles thinking, are they ice?
Right.
Like, are we going to slip?
Right. Right. I know. And knock on wood, yesterday and today, 92 has been relatively clear and free of accidents.
I sure hope it stays that way.
It has
We've
been
had our share of accidents this
a
year.
A total disaster. What was it? It was Tuesday. Did you travel on 92 Tuesday?
I did not.
Okay, so there were no less than 2 accidents on 92. There might have been a third. Next door, of course, blew up with what all was going on. But there was some crazy driver that I believe was going westbound that decided to go into all of the cones.
Oh,
up
no.
at the top.
Oh, no.
Drive by everyone, you know, at some crazy speed. Ended up crashing by Santa's. And if I understood the story correctly, and anyone can call in here to correct me at 650-560-9851. The guy crashed. A Good Samaritan woman stopped to make sure he was okay. He proceeded to get out of his crashed car and stole her car.
What?
Yep.
Okay, that's not okay. What's wrong with these people?
I mean,
that's horrible.
Can we not count on our better angels here?
Right?
Like people.
Karma.
We have just
coming his way.
Hit a brand new low when I read that.
Yeah, that's terrible. I missed that one.
Oh, man. And before I forget, I do want to give a shout out to Cameron's English Pub for our amazing sponsorship. We were just talking, Julie and I were just talking about karaoke. And Cameron's is the best spot to do that. That is for sure.
We were singing along.
yeah, we were. Is someone there? Hello?
Hello, it's Penny Packer.
Oh, Penny! I love hearing your voice. How are you, stranger?
I'm good. It's so good to hear yours, and I don't want to take up much time, but I just wanted to say that the level 10 eye roll has made it into the lexicon of my family. And that every time sometimes it's an eye roll, you know, level 100, but I just wanted you to know that it has made it into the lexicon of the family. And whenever it does, I think of you. So kudos.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that. I love it. I do miss being here. That is for sure. I miss working with Reuben every week. And so it's fun to be back, but still missing Reuben in the seat. So, but it's so awesome you called in.
Well, I just wanted to let you know. All right.
Thank you. Thank you. You take care.
You do. Bye.
Okay, guys. Bye-bye. Cute.
Is there a backstory to level 10?
Penny Packer is one of our number one fans.
Okay.
Who we love hearing from. So it's just, and she's cute. Out in the Midwest, I believe.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
And so she gets it for, gets the award for, one of the best listeners, one of the best caller-inners.
Caller-inners.
And, so she's just the best and always calls it and calls Ruben to the mat, which I really appreciate, Penny.
Got it.
Which is always fun. So anyhow, I also know that Ruben religiously goes over the air quality report. So wanted to do that. Last I checked, El Granada was at 31, Santa Cruz 35. Then I decided to go down to Las Vegas, and we're at 44. Miami, Florida is 57, and Denver, 50.
All that wind isn't clearing up the air. I'm actually pretty shocked.
I know. Me too. But 0 to 50 is still good. So it's 51 to 100 that's moderate, and 101 past that, let's put on our oxygen masks, basically.
So, well, good. My dad will be able to breathe.
I know. So we are going to want to talk. I really want to talk a lot about what you've been up to, Julie.
Okay.
And then we have our special guest, Jen Dillon, here to talk about the Half Moon Bay High School Robotics Club. So we're excited to learn about that. And I know that there's a movie in particular that we'll be talking about that you're going to be speaking about that might kind of tie in even
to the
robotics. So we'll do all that. And then there were a couple of articles in the review that I was hoping that we might be able to get to. So
there was one about the films we have up and coming on March 3rd, next Friday.
Well, I can't wait. Why don't we start on...
Let's not waste any time.
So, yes, let's talk about Beach Break Entertainment. Let's talk about the Half Moon Bay Film Festival and all of that good stuff. So I know that you've been busy, busy, busy.
It's been busy since almost November. It's been nonstop.
Wow.
But yeah.
Okay. Well, so
where
tell
do you
us,
want to start?
Well, let's see. We could start. First of all, I saw Elf.
On Main Street. The Chamber and Crystal Inn.
So that was awesome. What date was that? Was that the Christmas at the parade?
It was the Knights of Lights.
That's right.
The fourth Knights of Lights. And we were fortunate enough to use the Cunha Market parking lot.
Okay.
And we brought chairs out and we set up and we projected on the wall across from the Jeff Clark surf.
Great.
Mural. Yeah, it was awesome. It was very cold, but it was just, it had so much energy and it was just so neat for Main Street, and people walking by would come in, and Jupiter and Main sponsored it, and they got cookies with like elf drawn on them, and they had.
I thought it was really well attended. I didn't get to stay for the whole thing, but
it was fun.
Yeah,
it was. It was great, and it was a nice way to end Knights of Light.
Yep,
and bring movies to Main Street,
and which arguably was one of the best Christmas movies out there.
Of course.
Yes.
In fact, I believe that we're renewing the contract, and we're going to be doing that every year from now on. Just show Elf. At Cunha Market
fantastic.
In the parking lot.
Oh my gosh, that'll be great.
Yeah, I loved it. I think it's really fun for Main Street to have movies right there on the street, outdoors, under the stars.
Aww.
Yeah, everything about it was
terrific. It just adds to the coziness of a small town.
Yes, it does.
And being able to have us all congregate and have fun and watch such a fun movie and be down there on a special night like it was. I love that Jupiter in Maine sponsored that and had the cookies.
Yeah, they did giveaways too. People
who
sat and stayed for the movie, they did drawings at the end. And they gave totally away so many gift certificates. I was like, can I get one? I love that store.
Yeah. Well, and they it was terrific.
They do.
Have done so much to support and sponsor different events in the community.
Yeah.
And so that's so great to hear.
Yeah, okay, it was really fun.
Okay, so that was at Christmas. What's been going on since
then? That was December 16th, the last Friday of the Knights of Lights. And then we hosted Beach Break Entertainment, hosted the Beach Break Film Festival, the inaugural, at the Coastal Repertory Theater.
Mm-hmm.
And we did 6 films over 3 days.
Wow.
And we were sold out of 3 films. We sold out of opening night, closing night, and the comedy club, which was a carryover from our 2021 event that we had to cancel.
Right.
And, oh my gosh, they had, I'm going to get the number wrong, but it was something like 90% of the people that came for our opening night, Waterman, which was a surf film, had never stepped foot in the theater before.
Amazing.
It was amazing. So that was really exciting.
Yeah.
We had great sponsors from Maverick Surf Company was our presenting sponsor. The Ritz-Carlton Half Moon Bay was our hotel partner.
Great.
So all our out-of-town guests, we actually had, I think, 9 out-of-town guests that came. And we needed 9 rooms, but they all brought their spouses, and they stayed mostly at the Ritz, and then Oceana Hotel put up a couple as well in
Fantastic.
The end. Yeah, it was great. It was so much fun. Barterra Winery poured wine, and Jetty Wave poured cocktails. Hop Dogma gave us beer to serve, and we showed amazing films. People were thrilled with them. And we had, if we couldn't get the filmmakers to come into town, we had them make us videos. So I did a Q&A with Dana Goldfein and Dan Geller, who were the filmmakers for Hallelujah.
Oh, okay.
And so we did a Q&A, and at the last minute, Jason Gecki, who is now on my advisory board, he was there to take pictures, but he had videotaped the Zoom call we did. And at that night, he edited it down. I said, we can't have a half-hour Q&A. People are going to want to go home, and they're going to want to eat. So he sat in the back green room and edited this little video down to like a 10-minute video Q&A afterwards, and people were thrilled by it.
Wonderful.
So that was
fun. Sounds like a huge success.
Yeah, everything about it was as I imagined. We had, for those of you who used to take music or piano, Kitty Ray, her daughter, Kitty Ray unfortunately is no longer with us, but Maddie Ray sang Hallelujah, and we had Carol Siegel playing the piano both for opening night and closing night, and Maddie Ray sang Hallelujah. It was
so
breathtaking.
Special,
and at the very end of the song, because the movie is about all the iterations of the song and how it took 10 years to create. And at the end, my dad, actually, who loves to do parodies on songs, I had him write a parody for Beach Break, specifically that they incorporated into the end of the song about... It was just fabulous. It was
how
so much
special.
Fun. It
and
was.
And now that I actually had a chance to meet your dad,
yeah,
I love that he did that.
Oh, it was so fun. It was so wonderful. And then at the very end of that, everybody chimed in, and they did 2 or 3 more rounds of Hallelujah.
Kind of gives it goosebumps.
It was
I'm so sorry to have missed.
It was very special. Everything about the event was special, and the people that stepped up to the plate and came forward, and Spangler's Market and Shiki Sushi Half Moon Bay, they both catered. I mean, it was community
well
coming
done
together
that all
at its
of those
finest.
Folks, you know, stepped up to the plate.
Yeah, and all the people who attended, they shared their holiday season with us, and it was really special.
So it sounds like because that was such a success that we might be able to expect another one this coming year, another film festival. Are we making it an annual thing now?
We are. Second annual is being planned. Same dates, December 28th, 29th, and 30th.
Put it in your calendar, everyone.
I know. I've scouted two films that I would love to talk about.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk about what we're doing Friday, March 3rd, but... we can, it's up to you.
No, we're good. Let's see. I'm looking. I want to get Jen. Why don't we talk about the two movies? Because then one of them kind of parlays into the robotics.
The festival.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, we can do whatever you want, but we have renewed our contract for both our drive-in series at Lindemar Shopping Center in Pacifica. And so that's going to be first Saturdays, May through August.
Okay.
And then our first Friday series at San Benito House starts next week, like I said, March 3rd. And we're going to open up with two great films about surfing just to kind of keep my, like, initial programming intact.
Yeah.
You know, we started with Chasing Mavericks. Sorry.
Right.
For the drive-in.
Right,
so
I
now,
remember.
Yeah, we're not doing that, but we're going to show for families. We're going to show Surf's Up, you know, the major ocean picture.
Yeah.
And it's the parody of Penguins, but the surf culture. And so that's really fun. And then that starts at 6:30, and then we're going to show Groundswell, The Other Side of Fear, which is a documentary, and it was brought to my attention about 4 months ago, but the filmmakers weren't ready to show it because we were going to view it for the festival. And then Jenny Fikes, mother of Malcolm Fikes, who is... an honored community hero. She reintroduced me to the film and the filmmakers after she viewed it in Santa Cruz. And it needs to be shown here. It highlights a lot of our surf culture, which is so very different than other big wave areas, big wave surf areas, because we're a welcoming community.
Yes.
And so Malcolm's whole motto, show up and be kind, that we have all tried to live by, this film showcases a connection to Half Moon Bay and captures our attention. It's I guess in light of so many challenges in our own community right now with the mass shooting and then the plight of the immigrant farm workers, it seems like it's never been a better time for us to find ways to connect to each other and unite in our own strengths.
So true.
So this film helps us see how one person can influence us all. I wrote a quote down, never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it's the only thing that ever has. That's anthropologist Margaret Mead. We just want to, stories that are told to include an iconic young adult from our own area, that's Malcolm Fikes.
Yeah.
Work to build our pride and inspire us to do for others as part of living our best lives.
Yeah.
And I think that we're stronger as a community when we work together.
And we definitely have seen that with our community.
Lately,
in particular.
With the floods,
yes.
With the shooting.
Yes, 100%.
Drivers who...
crazy drivers.
Knock over cones.
So what are the dates?
Sorry,
so
excuse me.
No, let's... talk about your website where people can look all of this up.
I love it. Yeah.
And so what would that be?
We are at www.beachbreakentertainment.com.
Great.
Yeah.
And then I can't imagine.
March 3rd. So Friday, March 3rd at San Benito House.
Okay.
In the back in the grass, we say bring your own chairs.
Yeah.
You can buy tickets online.
Weather will be clear by then.
It is supposed to be clear.
It's supposed
actually
to be clear. So
I would say bring chairs so you're not sitting on the grass maybe, but we're really excited to be back there. So we're going to be doing a first Friday series through October with San Benito House.
Great.
Yeah.
And they have yummy food, too.
So they have delicious food and delicious food drink.
While you watch these fantastic movies. Now, are you... This is maybe a silly question, but I'd imagine that all of this isn't necessarily free for you. So sponsorships.
We're like, looking for sponsors.
Okay.
So I will say we are doing like a deal right now. We're offering a sponsorship deal to those who first come to me. We're going to be sponsoring and highlighting sponsors and advertisers all year. So if you sign up now for the film festival, we're going to promote you all year round at every single film we show, which is why it's really exciting to me that we have 8 films guaranteed right now at San Benito House. And another 4 in Pacifica.
Lots of exposure for the sponsors.
It is. And it's fun. And this, I think Groundswell is going to be really well attended. We have Jeff Clark of Maverick Surf Company coming to introduce the film.
Terrific.
And we've been told that if Bianca Valente doesn't go back to Hawaii for a big swell.
Yeah.
But she'll be there as well, which is kind of fun.
Awesome.
Yeah. And then one really fun thing is I met with a neighbor yesterday who's a big time game developer, and he developed a game, Echo the Dolphin.
I've never heard of it.
I'm not a gamer, but I looked it up and it's so cute. And it was bought, I think it was bought by Sega Game Company. But he presented the idea of making movie nights game nights as well, so video gaming. So we're going to be beta testing e-gaming on our big screen at one of our movies, probably in April.
Really?
And if it's a major success, because gamers are like by the millions right now.
Yeah.
People love that video gaming. We're going to try to bring people off their couches, out of their living rooms, and bring them to San Benito House Gardens, watch a movie, and get to do games.
Seems like the best of everything, considering that Jen and I have teen sons.
Anything
to get them out of the house, even if I guess it is playing games, at least they're out.
It's video games. It's out in the community. It's doing it live so they can play, and then they have live audiences to cheer them on and root for them.
Wow.
And we're going to be giving out prizes. So that's super
fun. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah,
so now, is all of that on your website?
Not yet, because we just talked about it yesterday
booking
for
a
friend.
Perfect.
But
perfect promotion then.
Yeah, I think it's exciting, and I think it's something like another step that Beach Break can take to really bring crowds here from over the hill, from other areas.
Yeah.
There's a huge game convention at Moscone Center that brings in thousands and thousands of people in late March.
So
we're going to tap into that. We might go do like another beta at one of the hotels, like the W or something, if they'll have us.
Julie Mal.
We're on a roll. I'm on a roll.
Impressive. That is amazing.
We need to keep reinventing ourselves, right?
And
so here we are.
Well, you're doing an absolutely awesome job.
Thanks.
And I'm looking forward to all of these movies and events that you're putting on here. And the film festival, which will be here before we know it.
December 28th, 29th, and 30th.
Awesome. Well, let's roll into, I don't know if you want to mention the movie that with the whale tail, I think is, and then we can, I know we have a bunch of other stuff to talk about, but I want to get Jen into the conversation.
Of course. I think that's good. So I was just in Hawaii visiting my daughter who works for a sailing company, and we went out on these excursions that were whale watching excursions. It was spectacular. There were whales everywhere you looked. They were spouting. They were breaching.
Wow.
It was just phenomenal. And it just so happens that that weekend while I was there on Maui, there was this thing called the Whale Tales event. And it's an educational event that brings, it fills the gap between scientists and the public, for knowledge about whales. It included photographers and filmmakers and conservationists. And, they bring people together to learn the latest in whale migration and whale, just everything whale and ocean. Mm-hmm. So we sat and, we went in, for a film that they were showing called Soul of the Ocean. And it was made by a husband and wife team. Michael Hull is his name. He was the cinematographer, and it's probably one of the most spectacularly beautiful films I've ever watched and sat through.
And you said no CGI.
There was no CGI. It was all... I don't know what live cinematography.
Yeah, real life.
It wasn't live, but real life. Thank you. And it was so beautiful, and the music was beautiful, and they told just a story about how everything's related, and everything depends on everything else. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't a preach about garbage, but they showed garbage, and it was. Life underwater, and mm-hmm. it's beautiful. I can't wait to get it. I'm going to talk to them. They didn't think it would be streaming for another few years, and there were short versions of it, I think, that were shown on PBS, but they're lovely. They're from California, so I was safe. They live in, I think they said Newport Beach,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I can bring them in.
Nice.
And,
would be great.
To stick with Beach Break Film Festival's
yep.
theme of California made or made by California filmmakers. Soul of the Ocean will be coming.
Well, fantastic. I can't wait to see it. And maybe it'll even be at one of the film festivals.
It will be at our film festival, yes.
Oh, or, that's what I mean. That's
or
what,
maybe
that's
we may, maybe we'll bring it in earlier and just do it. We're talking to Mavericks about doing films in their parking lot, Mavericks Surf Company.
Ah, perfect.
So maybe we'll bring it there and do something just right there at the harbor by the ocean.
Oh, which would be perfect.
Which
would be perfect.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that is exciting. All of this is exciting.
So many options.
So many options. All right. So we want to welcome our guest, Jen Dill.
Good morning.
Good morning. And you have been on the show once, twice?
I think twice.
Twice. I think, yes. So we're so happy to have you back.
Third time's a charm.
And I'm so glad that we were able to connect about the club and all of the activity that's going on in the robotics club. And I know that... you were certainly super impressed. Your son's in the club, is that correct?
Yeah, he is.
And so I'm really interested to find out what is going on.
Yeah, so we are in our second season. Last year was our inaugural season, our rookie season, and we participate in FIRST Robotics, so FRC, the FIRST Robotics Challenge. And they essentially get a game that comes out in January, first week of January, and they have essentially 6 weeks to build a robot and then compete. So
wow.
It's a super short season. They're in the middle of it now, which is why none of my robot builders are here, because they're building now. And our first competition this season is March 16th, March 17th, over that weekend in San Francisco.
Oh, my gosh.
May I interject? So what's funny is my daughter, Lily Mel, my eldest, she's mm-hmm. 23 now. She and Tomas Santos, do you know those names?
I do.
So they actually started the robotics club in 2016.
Yeah.
And then I guess it went defunct in 2019, which is such a shame.
Yeah.
But I went and sat in on a lecture at the library, the Half Moon Bay Library, put on by AAUW.
Yes.
And those two young ladies, the seniors,
yes,
that described, and they gave this presentation, this slideshow presentation, it was so impressive, and it's like such a higher bar than when Lily was in it. But The program's phenomenal.
It's amazing. It's an amazing experience. So, I mean, I am zero technical. So, put that out. My husband is an electrical engineer, so he bridges that gap. He's one of the mentors. Our oldest son is a senior. He was a junior when he restarted the program. COVID, kind of made that harder in the first 2 years. Right. So his junior year, he started it. And we made it all the way to the World Championships. But this isn't just in Texas, which is like 8% of teams make it.
And
teams from across the world. I mean, we were with teams from Australia, from Turkey, from Israel, from France. I mean, it was
so
an
impressive.
Amazing experience.
Oh my gosh.
So the bar is a little high for us this year. but it's what I love about it is that it's not just being technical. This opportunity is for kids who want to do marketing, who want to do business. It is a small business. Mm-hmm. And so it is just a really great way for kids to get real life hands-on skills. And the Half Moon Bay team, it's like quintessential Half Moon Bay. Aww. We are a ragtag team. You're going to learn so much. Like, there's schools over the hill that there's 90 kids on the team. And if you're on the team, you do one thing and that's it.
Yeah.
Here you get the experience to do everything and take it with you.
Yep.
They have a lot more funding, I'm sure.
Oh, yes.
And right. Aren't you looking for sponsors?
Absolutely. It's wonderful in that through First Robotics, we do get a lot of grants from NASA, from Boeing, from Johnson & Johnson, bigger companies.
Yeah.
But this is not a cheap hobby.
Right.
So
right.
So ABS funding does make a difference. Currently, we're bouncing back and forth between garages right now, and we would love to have this space.
Are you guys nonprofit?
We're through the high school. So we're a club at the high school.
Right.
And that's the umbrella.
Do you have to apply for grants?
Yes.
So
there's grant writing experience that kids can get.
Wow. The kids are doing that.
The kids, so
that's
yes.
Amazing.
That is amazing.
The kids are all, like, we are working on the kids having this all be kid run. So much like your daughter, Julie, like all of our kids right now are seniors. We have a couple of freshmen and I don't want this program to go away because it is such an amazing experience.
Why don't we collaborate?
I would love that. The big plan is to have it. Through FIRST, they have three main competitions. They have one that's a Lego competition for elementary school kids. Mm-hmm. They have one that's a smaller robot. The robot that we have this year is like 125 pounds, so it's a big robot. Right. But the middle school option is a little bit smaller, but my goal is to have programs throughout middle school, elementary school, middle school, high school, mm-hmm. so that by the time the kids come through, you get kids younger, whose parents maybe weren't electrical engineers and haven't been exposed to this, but they get that exposure when they're younger, and they can bring it through them through high school.
Yep.
And even not even the technical piece, right? The first, their motto is, we don't use kids to build robots. We use robots to build kids. Mm-hmm. And it's absolutely true. So my dream is to be able to have a sustainable STEM program here on the coast that kids will all be exposed to. I mean, whether they jump in or not, that's their choice, but they all know it's here and they have the option to do it because it really provides so many opportunities. I mean, FIRST Robotics has, I'm going to botch the number, but I think it's like 20 different companies, big companies who give like $80 million in scholarships for these kids for college. And if they decide to go to trade school or start their own business, like they support that. So there's many tracks.
Okay.
So it's just a really great resume builder. My oldest son is applying for colleges. They ask specifically, have you participated in FIRST?
Yep.
And that gives you a leg up. Hmm. And I just see it as this amazing opportunity for our kids.
Yeah.
And just want to build that out here.
Well, you would think that the funding would be a no-brainer considering where we live, right?
Exactly.
You would think.
Exactly.
You would think that STEM would be at the forefront of the funding in the educational system.
Right, exactly.
For these kids.
Right.
So, I mean, it's wonderful to hear about the $80 million.
Right.
But when you spread it out throughout the state, and if you want to begin in elementary school, that's like a speck of sand compared to what you really need, what companies really need to engage and invest in
absolutely
the kids.
Absolutely. And one of the things, as we saw in the World Championships, was there are companies that come and they scout these kids. You get internships and the opportunities that are afforded these kids. And what's so great is that majority of the team that we had had no experience beforehand.
Really?
Yes. My older son has been doing combat robotics since he was like 7. So he has...
He's combat had some, robotics? Yes.
So he's had some experience building and driving and things like that. But the rest of the kids had never done anything else like this before. And it was all trial by fire. Like they were drinking from the fire hose and they all rose to the occasion.
Wow. Did he recruit them or were these kids organic?
So a couple were his friends was like, hey, do you want to be in the robotics club? We need a treasurer, you know. Exactly. And so, you know, and it's software, it's hardware, and we teach we teach the kids as they come in with whatever skill set they come in with, and we go from there.
That's awesome, especially because it can be daunting, right? If you if you don't know what you're stepping into, if you don't have combat robotic experience, or don't even know what that is.
And I mean, the young ladies that you saw at that presentation, had never held a drill, right?
They were amazing.
And they are so hands-on, and they are just curious. That's all you need is curiosity and a positive attitude. And even, curiosity is really top of the list.
Wow, that's amazing. So... then when is their first competition?
They have two competitions this season. Their first competition is March 16th, 17th, that weekend over St. Patrick's Day. That one's in San Francisco at St. Ignatius. And then their second competition is a week later, and that's at the UC Davis campus.
Okay. And are they presenting the same robot or robots?
They will compete with the same robot that they're building.
The
125-pounder? Yes.
They're not in combat. So that's pretty intact.
Okay. Now, is AI involved at all in robotics? Now, that's a total grasshopper question, probably.
Right.
I have no idea.
So at the beginning, the competition is about 3 minutes long, and the way that it's set up is you collaborate. It's three teams versus three teams. Mm-hmm. Working together to score points. I'm not going to go into what the game is because I wouldn't explain it that well. And we might not understand
it. It looked like basketball.
Last year was the basketball one. This one they've changed. You have to pick up a square cube and you have to pick up a cone, which you have to design something that can pick up both, which is quite challenging, and then be able to move it and put them into a docking station. And then at the end and the beginning, I'll get to that in a second, they have to balance on a balance board. So potentially three other robots. So they've got like a gyroscope on there that will automatically tune. So if it starts tipping, that the robot, and that's all done through software. Our software engineer did that.
They look, the robots they had in the presentation weren't like what you'd expect. They looked to me like kind of like bobcats.
Yeah.
You know,
they're functional.
These machines.
Yeah.
They drove, they had gears, they had arms that lift and clamp. I remember they had to do things both completely programmed.
Autonomous. Yes, that's what I was going to get to. They have an autonomous period at 15 seconds, I think, in the beginning of the competition where everything is autonomous. So that's the software side programming everything. So you you come loaded with either a cone or a cube, and then if you can autonomously move it, right, it senses where things are. There's other robots that has to be able to respond to that without a driver's control. And then if it can go onto the balance board and balance on its own autonomously, then
no remotes
in that 15-second portion.
Okay.
Yes, and the points you score are significantly higher in that space. So we've worked hard to our software team, which is one person. he's made that all happen. It's amazing.
Wow. Now, do you go to all of these meetings? Also, I know you said your husband is involved.
Well, they were in my house for a significant part of the time. Oh my gosh.
Those meetings came to me.
Yeah. And so, yes. And then this week we've had kids kind of in and out because of school being out. So they've been kind of working on things on their own. But within the next couple of weeks, because we've only got 2 weeks left, essentially, we're down to the wire. So we're going to be working pretty hard.
Well, how many teams are going to be showing up to, say, the SI one? Do you know?
I think at that one, there's probably, from last year, if I remember correctly, roughly 60 teams.
Wow. Okay. And is that from all over the country?
Some like flew in from Turkey, like we got
this one.
Hawaii.
Okay.
No. All of them, they do this. So like we've got Hawaii teams that come here. Like it was so great last year that they had a shelving unit that they just gave us. We had nothing. And they were like, yeah, we don't want to ship that back. So we got stuff from the Hawaii team last year. So most of it's going to be the Bay Area teams. Mm-hmm. It's, as you can imagine, it's a pretty competitive region.
Yeah.
But you've got some of the places that don't have competition, so they'll fly in. Mm. And then the UC Davis one, we haven't been to that yet, so I don't know. Mm-hmm. But typically, they do have teams from other countries there, other states. But then the Worlds is where everybody comes. And you only qualify for that.
So if you qualify... When you qualify for the world.
Thank you. I love that attitude.
So, and there's, you know, the Half Moon Bay team qualifying for the world. Like, what kind of teamwork is there, say, between schools? So let's say that you really liked a portion of, I don't know, the Burlingame team's, robot but you guys are the ones going to the world. Like, could you reach out? Like, would they be like, we could help with you.
Totally. And that's, the really great thing about this program is that one of their keystone mottos is gracious professionalism. They promote competition, absolutely, but you are there to help each other out. Really, you just want to see cool things happen.
Yeah.
And that's where... It is a very unique ambiance that they have created. So
you inspire the kids.
Totally.
And so that they feel invested in.
Totally.
Totally.
And so everybody's helping each other. I mean, last year, our first competition, our robot didn't pass inspection, and we had mentors and other students from other teams coming over and totally helping us put out our fire.
I love hearing
and
that.
And so it's just beautiful. They teach each other collaborations, and at the World Championships, I'm really proud of this, we won the Gracious Professionalism Award.
They showed up and they were kind.
Right.
Yeah.
And they were, you're nominated by other teams. That's the only way you win that.
It's like the Congeniality Award. I love that.
It's a big deal. So it teaches the kids teamwork. I mean, you're competitive. You want to do your best.
Sure.
But it's a really unique and special environment. And I just wish it could, spread out everywhere.
True, right? And the thing of it is you always want to compete against the best. Like, if you're a real competitor, you want to be able to compete equally with someone. I mean, you don't want to win because someone defaulted you really want to make everyone come to the event at their best. Like, and know that whoever wins won because they were against the top. Right?
Yeah.
The top talent and all that. So it only behooves them to make sure that Team A is at their best. And if they can help them, I don't know, with a screw or a, I don't know, whatever. But I love that you all won that award.
Yeah.
For being gracious.
Yes.
That's just so special. Like, my mom heart is.
I know, right?
Exactly.
That's all I want, right? Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh,
exactly.
Sweet.
Yeah.
So how many kids are in the program right now in Half Moon Bay?
So in the program right now, I would say we've got roughly 10 kids. Mm-hmm. They kind of float in and out a little bit, but mm-hmm. we've got a core group of probably six that okay. show up pretty consistently.
Okay.
And so we'd like that to get bigger, a little bit bigger.
Right.
We recognize, you know, we're not going to be like one of the teams from Over the Hill where you have 90 kids because we just don't have that population here. Mm-hmm. And that's actually great. Mm-hmm. I think having a team, that's what makes this such an awesome opportunity is that A, we're a new team, and B, it gives you a chance to build it out
yep.
and help build out the program. And it is a great way to build your resume for colleges.
Sure. Because and baptism by fire, right? You're doing
totally,
everything from soup to nuts. It's not like, okay, Jim, this is your job just right here. And
yeah.
then, you know, and then they divvy up Jim's doing everything from soup to nuts. And I think there's a lot to be said about that. It's kind of like working in a small company. Like
it is such a startup. I mean, we're literally in a garage.
I mean, it was so funny. I once ran into the CEO of a small company, and he gave me his card, and on it it said for his title, CEO and janitor.
Yeah.
And it's so true, right? He's like, I'm plunging the toilets at 6 a.m. and I'm divvying up the paychecks, you know, at 5 p.m. So, and everything in between, right? So
exactly.
You do. There are a lot of life lessons in handling all of that.
And I can speak personally for my older son who's been at these 2 years. I mean, he's grown so much. Mm. All of the kids have grown so much in confidence mm-hmm. and in their ability and in just being looking at something and go, oh yeah, I can do that.
Yep.
You know, having had this experience. And we've got a great group of mentors right now with parents and looking for more people with experience to help out who are interested. We want to build a culture of being a student-led team, mm-hmm. you know, having mentors to kind of create that container. But mm-hmm. you can tell the difference between teams that are run by parents who are mm-hmm. having the kids do their work, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
But we want the kids to be able to run this whole thing, to have that experience.
Yep.
And that's something we're really proud of.
Yeah, and to not only hold themselves accountable, but to be self-advocates.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny because having been in Cub Scouts with my son, you know, once you move over to Boy Scouts, it's all boy run at that point. The parents are just there to make sure that no one like falls off a cliff, basically.
Exactly.
But, you know, but they really run the entire thing. And in high school, anyhow, that's really what you want. Because once they get off to college, it's they're running their show, for better or worse. So it's great life lessons. And I also think that having been gone for 2 years in COVID, it's such a tremendous opportunity for the kids, no matter what club, whether it's the robotics or the wood shop or, you know, whatever. It's wonderful that they're finally able to get back together and be a team and create things together and have such a positive experience with the mentorship of the parents and in-person relationships. And because it's just those are things that, like, the three of us took for granted growing up, right? We had all of those experiences.
Yep.
And our kids really missed out on it for a couple of years. So
Absolutely.
It's nice to get back to that.
Absolutely.
And then to be going to these Tournament of Champions. And now, is the high school going to be covering it? I don't know. Is there going to be like live feed or anything of
the high school won't, but the First Robotics does.
Oh,
so
okay.
They have a live feed of all the competitions. If you look up First Robotics and San Francisco Regional, they have that live.
Okay.
I bet Michelle Dragony of Coastside Buzz will cover it.
Ooh, Michelle. Michelle. That's a shout out.
She covers everything, and she covers
she
it well.
She does so well.
Yep.
Very accurately. I am a big Coastside Buzz fan.
Same.
And Michelle fan. So, yeah, that would be fantastic. Well, that is great. Thank you so much.
No, thank you.
Did I hit all questions that you wanted, or is there any other information you wanted to share?
No, I want folks to know we exist. I want folks to know that we want to grow this program and what an opportunity we have for these kids 100%. Here on the coast. That's all.
No, I think it's fantastic. And I bet you they'll do a super job. I can't wait to tune in. I'm going to ask you about the website that you said might be having the live feed.
Sure.
I'd love to watch.
Yeah.
And I'm actually going to Google combat robotics after this. I need to see. Is that kind of like what was on, is it the Discovery Channel?
Like BattleBots.
BattleBots. Yes. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. My son used to watch that too. Okay. So I do have some idea. No idea of how it works, but it's fun to watch.
Yeah.
It's fun to watch. Well, thank you so much, Jen.
No, thank you.
Best of luck to the team.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
This is great.
Jen, right. We should talk because we can get the robotics club, if there's parents after the fact, the parents, I don't care who, but the kids can get volunteer hours and they can volunteer for a film and we can do some kind of robotic themed or...
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Whatever, I don't know what else, science, future, something themed film and do games and promote it because we give back to nonprofits.
Awesome.
So
that'd be great.
Look at this all happening. I love this.
This is the magic of the coast.
It is.
No, after your events in March,
yeah.
We have a couple months spoken for, but there are opportunities and we're
awesome.
Always looking for volunteers and it's a great way to promote, cross promote and
yeah, let's chat.
And plus it's fun if we're e-gaming, whatever
means.
But if you guys have teenagers.
Yeah. Yes,
they know
do.
What gaming is.
Do.
Yeah, right?
Good times.
So let's trade numbers before you go.
I'd love that.
On the radio.
Yeah.
You heard it here live.
Probably not necessary.
No, well, that is fantastic. And, you know, the other thing is the high school has so many wonderful programs.
Right.
That also could use additional funding and whatnot. So, there's nothing more important than investing in our kids and their livelihoods. And, you know, I was talking beforehand because I always get up on like a mile high soapbox about community center, rec center,
right?
You know, all of those things.
Well,
but
where are they?
You know, the low hanging fruit is our existing school, classes, clubs, you know, and if we could just enrich those. You know, maybe we could have more clubs going to worldwide events, national events, you know, and because these kids just, they want to be successful in whatever they're trying and not successful in, okay, you got an A+, but the graciousness award or,
right.
You know, I mean, they just basically want to know what great humans they are and that they're doing something that they enjoy and they're being celebrated and invested in. So, kind of off my soapbox, but anyhow, sorry, I'll step down now, but I really just think it's all so important. So anyhow, all right. So March is going to be a busy month, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Yeah, between the two of you.
Yeah.
Very. And I was going to talk about a couple of things that had been mentioned in the review. I'm not sure if we totally have the time, but I know that there was an infrastructure conversation. And we started that at the top of the hour, I guess. But
I think just last night they had a conversation at Brews and Views.
Yes.
Yeah.
They did.
I know. I meant to get to that, but it didn't happen.
I think my frustration with it, I love being able to talk about it. I love that it's standing room only, that there are very interested and frustrated community members, I being one of them. or me being one of them, sorry. But with the trees down, the cell and the Wi-Fi, basically the power grid down and our infrastructure. I mean, we were talking about the potholes just on 92 that could level out any car that's not an SUV. Yeah. I just don't know when these things are going to get fixed.
No.
And so I'd be interested to know if there was any kind of resolution that happened last night. I'm thinking not, because we seem to have these conversations that we go round and round on, and it just doesn't get fixed. I'm so glad that I know we're not calling it a sinkhole, but the hole that was...
We're not calling it a sinkhole?
No, we're not.
What is it?
I don't know. That's either not the politically correct or the correct term. We even have to watch... We have to watch out for the sinkhole's feelings. We don't... the hole's feelings. Yeah, I know. I think it has its own Instagram page.
Sinky.
And Sinky. Yeah. So, anyhow, I don't know why the cones are still out for that. There's been, from what I could tell, no real solid update on when that road's going to open. Totally. I mean, I know it's open, but without the little generator lights and the cones and the one lane, and it's just messy. So, at any rate, I'd love to hear from anyone that maybe was at the meeting, and if there was a resolution. I know council members were there. I think Ray Mueller was there fielding questions. And again, I don't think there were any answers. Did you hear anything?
Nothing. No. Unfortunately. We didn't have power.
Crickets.
So we didn't have internet.
There we go.
How would we have heard anything?
No kidding. I lost power for a little bit also. I'm now going back to school. So that was a little problematic because both of the classes I'm taking are on Zoom. Good times. So I was getting ready to head out to McDonald's and sit in the parking lot for 2.5 hours to get their Wi-Fi.
McDonald's has Wi-Fi?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah. Because it was too late for the library.
Coastline
right.
Hack.
Yeah. You can sit outside the library, right?
Yeah.
And Starbucks sometimes are peaked.
Yes. Starbucks are peaked. But I don't know what time Starbucks, my class goes until 10:15. But fortunately, the Wi-Fi miraculously came back on, because you get points deducted if you don't have your camera on. I know.
Oh, I do so many Zoom calls from my car.
Yeah.
Sometimes when I'm driving. Oops.
Oops.
Did I say that?
I didn't hear anything. Yeah. So hopefully, and then of course, if you're driving through El Granada, it is like there have been cherry bombs lit on most of the roads, because they're in the process of, I don't know, PG&E is doing something underground. I'd say that they were putting wires underground, but the power lines are still up. So I don't know what they're doing.
That would certainly resolve a lot of the problems we have.
So now we have these metal planks or whatever, and then loose asphalt sealing them, in air quotes, because no, it's like you're going over a hump each time, and
it's jarring.
It's
jarring when you drive over those.
Yeah, some roads are closed for weeks. You just don't know. Ironically, sorry, last thing, and then we'll head out. But ironically, I talked to one of the guys. I'm like, it would be great if we were given a heads up when our road was going to close. And he's like, well, we mailed it to you. I'm like, you realize that hardly anyone in El Granada has a mailbox. We all, it's the post office that this goes to. He's like, no, I have no idea. Anywho, well, this has been great, guys. It was so much fun doing this show with you, Julie.
Thank you for being here, Jen.
Yes,
thank you for having
us. Nice to meet you.
We had a great time. And thank you, Ruben, for letting us take over the show today. And I know your listeners will be very happy to have you back next week. All right. This is Libby Streetwise. You all have a fantastic weekend. Bye-bye.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.